So the next segment, we are going to talk. We're going to have a little panel about races to watch upcoming in 2026. So we got Mr. Destiny. We got Ryan Getty. We got Soy Pill. We got Ms. Z. And then we got IRI right over there. And we're just going to go over the races. I know the ones we're targeting, but if there's any like specifics that you guys want to talk about real quick, let's get to it.
Ryan, Texas boy, what are our odds with Talladega?
Okay, one of the things that y'all need to understand about Paxton specifically, I mean, if he ends up being the Republican nominee, I guess, is that he is hated even by a lot of Republicans. He was impeached in the Texas House, and he was very nearly convicted in the Texas Senate. In an informal vote in the Texas Senate, it was one vote away, and it was only one vote away because his wife was a member of the Texas Senate. Jesus. And so I'm not even kidding. It was totally corrupt. Anyway, the Republicans, of course, control both chambers of the state legislature in Texas. So the fact that he got impeached at all is a crazy thing. I mean, he was using money for things he shouldn't have been using it for. It was bad. So a lot of Republicans hate him already. And Tallarico's a good candidate. I mean, what else can I say about that we haven't heard a million times before? He's a good candidate. I think if it's a blue wave year, I think if enough people donate to help us knock doors and get Democrats out to vote, there's a chance.
IRI and Ryan, maybe especially IRI, I've heard this said a lot, that the redistricting in Texas could have moved Texas into a very scary spot for the upcoming elections. Do you think that's true? Is that looking to be panning out anywhere, or will we even know until an election happens? Or,
well, yeah, they had to water down some of the districts in order to gain more. So I think they're kind of sweating bullets now because Democrats have shifted the electorate about 13 points to the left. We saw that on Tuesday in Marjorie Taylor Greene's old district, which I believe has the most Hispanic voters in one of the counties, Whitfield County, I think it is, in near Dalton, like the carpet capital of Georgia or something like that. But anyways, we've seen a huge shift from Hispanic voters to the left, and Republicans were counting on Hispanics to stay with them through the midterms and through 2028, but that seems to not be the case. So I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Also, I think your Discord is set to use your other mic, unless that's intentional.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
I think that's exactly right. I think that they, of course, the way that gerrymandering works, they have to water down safe districts in order to sort of spread it out and hopefully create districts that are marginally less safe, but still safe enough that they can count on them. Mm-hmm. And in South Texas, in the districts that they gerrymandered in South Texas to try and give them a Republican edge, they were counting on things staying at least somewhat like they were in 2024 with Hispanic voters. And it's just looking like that's not the case at all.
I feel like of all the Democrats I've seen in the party right now, it feels like Slotkin is doing this like more national tour, trying to be on podcasts, you know, doing commentary in places. Do you know why she is over anyone else? Or has she explicitly stated why? Or
she wants to run for president.
2028, bro.
That's it.
This far in advance, early, that people would start like staking out their positions on it? Like
Shapiro and Newsom already have books out.
Sure. Well, yeah, I feel like everybody
this thing's already going.
Rocana was doing the South Carolina tour, and he said, he hasn't announced yet, but it's like, why are you here, dude? Why are you talking about like HBCUs? Like, you're from fucking Silicon Valley. It's because he's going to run. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's one of these sort of moderate centrists, and she won in a state that was very difficult, and so I think she's setting herself up for a 2028 run for sure.
You got a good resume, undeniable. I mean,
where do you like rank her?
She hates Hassan, so she's got my vote.
One of the biggest issues with the Texas redistricting, though, is that they focused on Latino districts, which is not looking good for them. So we actually don't know if those five seats will actually flip or if they're safe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so all the ones they targeted, pretty much every single one is heavy Latino districts, which are all turning away from Trump right now, especially in the popularity vote.
Could someone tell me, because I remember when we first had this redistricting fight, there was a kind of projection that, oh, Z, we're echoing on your side, I think, a little bit.
Sorry.
It's fine. There was a redistricting projection of if this spirals down and every state starts doing this, the Republicans are going to get more seats. And that completely collapsed. Why was that? Was it because they backed down and they were scared? Or was it because they weren't able to redistrict in the way those projections kind of shot off?
It's crazy. Like in Indiana, they were under a lot of pressure to redistrict, and they chose not to. And I kept looking into it. Why? It just came down to principle. They said it wasn't fair. And so there are Republicans out there who still have principles, believe it or not. So some of it failed because of that. Others saw what happened in Texas and how it caused California to go crazy with Prop 50 and said, we don't want any more of that smoke. We're going to lose this. But you're right. That was Trump's way of cheating in the midterms. That was his plan, the mid-decade redistricting. It's unheard of, and it failed miserably.
Do we know what they're cooking up for all these voter rolls that they're seizing? I think Trump tried to do, was it an executive order banning or trying to limit like mail-in ballots? Like, did you guys see this?
Pretty sure it was. Yeah.
Is anybody talking
about... Put them under national control?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Hard to focus on any one thing because there's world-ending events happening on the daily now, but yeah.
He wants the Postal Service to have to coordinate with the states and have like a barcode on all the envelopes, but it's just ridiculously unconstitutional and it's not going to go into effect.
Yeah.
One thing that I mean, obviously, you know, restricting people's ability to vote is bad in principle, but I always wondered if this is like, would this actually help Republicans? Like, outside of a COVID year where, like, of course, there were other factors at play in who was using mail-in voting. Like, the normal voters who use mail-in voting are, like, military, old people, disabled people who are mostly old people.
I think there's a couple things. So, one is, you're right. Prior to COVID, all of the research that I saw, I think I'm parroting a bit of a Nate Silver article, but it either was a wash or it slightly favored conservatives when it came to mail-in votes. However, maybe after COVID, since so many people got ballots, like me being one of them, that's really nice to get a mail-in ballot and just mail it. So there might be more people of a certain political persuasion that'd be likely to vote or not vote. But I don't know if that would favor one side or the other. I do think that Trump lost 2020 because of his stance on mail-in ballots, because he's not like he convinced any Democrats not to mail-in ballot, but I bet he turned away enough of his party that he might have been able to win that had he not been so adamantly against them and opposed to them.
I know. I just wonder, like, is this yet another example of Trump being like a brain broken, deranged person? You know, he's got this conspiracy theory in his head about how this was how he was cheated in 2020. Mm-hmm. And now, like, outside of the circumstances where a lot of liberals are mailing in, like, he's just so, like, in his own, like, there's no one around him telling him, yet another example of no one being around Trump telling him that his ideas are stupid.
Yeah. That could be the case. I thought it was a stunning revelation among all of the other IC stuff that came out with the Tulsi Gabbard hearing that she told Congress that Trump called her the morning of to go to Fulton County, the morning of, with the implication being that she wasn't involved in any of the intelligence work or anything related to that. Like, she was just showing up there to be a face or a figurehead for it. So, yeah, I don't know what Trump is cooking up or what they're trying to do with these ballot lists or the voter rolls or these executive orders or anything. Yeah. I think there's really incompetent. I think they're really stupid.
Because it was the first term, but you just made me realize, Ryan, like, how many old people did Trump kill by telling them not to mail in votes during COVID? Like, definitely a non-zero amount.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Like half the ICE agency, apparently, according to that one death thing.
Oh, that's right. Jesus. I forgot all their deaths were from COVID.
His big gambit was the Save America Act, and he was demanding that Congress pass it or he won't sign anything. He seems to have backed off that now, but the Wall Street Journal came out with an editorial that said it's actually hurt Republicans more than Democrats because Democrats are more likely to have the documentation needed to prove their citizenship than Republicans, and plus the gutting of mail-in voting is going to hurt a lot of Republicans, and the entire state of Utah votes by mail, so... I think his plan has failed miserably. He's left with just his ICE army, maybe to send them to intimidate a couple of minorities at the polling places, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think, for all we've said about the Trump admin, the one thing that never fails is their incompetency. They are just so grossly incompetent. I can't believe he fired Bondi. I really didn't think he would, because I feel like she carried so much water for him and all the crazy stuff that he tries to get her to do. I don't know if he fired her. Does anybody know why he fired her? Does he really think there's somebody that can do all the crazy shit that he's demanding? Or
I bet he just felt like he was taking too much heat from Epstein and he was blaming her for it.
Probably. Yeah, but I feel like she was a good sponge to soak up the hate to some extent for it.
I think he's a stupid, irrational guy, though. Yeah. I think that's what...
You saw, I think it was an hour ago or 30 minutes ago, that apparently Trump has just been announcing that he's pardoning every single person, he said, within 200 feet of the Oval.
Oh my God!
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, I think.
Wait, wait. Do you mean like literally? Like he's like, if you're like you know, like Jesus, like I'll heal you if you come to me.
Like, well, no, not literally, but like just anybody that's been near. I think apparently the quote was, "I'll pardon everyone who has come within 200 feet of the Oval." Trump said in a recent meeting to laughs. Probably just anybody that's been working with his administration or anything. So yeah.
Good healthy democracy right there.
The firing of these cabinet secretaries is another sign of Trump's demise, because he wouldn't get rid of them now if he thought he could get people put in those positions in the next Congress. So to me, it's a sign that he thinks he's possibly going to lose the Senate as well. He's got to get these people replaced now.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just surprised at the choices they made. I understand Kristi Noem going, this person. I don't know how they were, whatever. Yeah, but Pam Bondi surprised me. I've heard people are, there's like murmurings of Kash Patel going, but I don't know if that'll happen or not.
Well, the people supposedly on the chalking block are the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, or Nutlick, as I like to call him, who lied about his associations with Epstein. The Labor Secretary, Lori something, her husband's a total creeper who was sexually harassing people in the office. And there was one more. I think Cash was also on the list too, yeah.
How bad do you think Iran has to go for Hegseth to be fired?
I don't know how Iran is going. I'm not sure. I hear every other day that everything has been blown up there, but then planes get shot down. And then I hear we've got a 10-point plan, but then I hear it was a 15-point plan. And then I hear that Lebanon is in a ceasefire, but then Israel says it's not. And then Trump is truthing out for people to stop shooting. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm just glad the great diplomats in Pakistan were able to work out a peace deal.
So if you read the transcript from Trump's statement on it, there's like a contradictory statement, I think, every 2 minutes. It's like, the strait was never a problem. Also, it's still closed. I'm mad at Iran, but we won the war, but we're still at war, but we need to open it. I don't know if the, like how bad it could go for, like, you could just make up a new thing every 3 minutes about what's going on.
It's unhinged. It's crazy. Yeah. Do we think there's a realistic chance of Trump getting impeached, or of like really crazy stuff happening with the incoming House and Senate? So I feel like you're seeing this more and more. Republicans keep jumping off the ship, hoping that there's going to be like an island close by, but there's not. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene obviously was a big one. You've got your Never Trumpers, you've got like your Massey's and everything. Especially if the midterms are a bloodbath, do you expect this to be like a Republican Congress that's hostile, or the Republicans in Congress, are they going to be hostile to the administration to some extent?
Well, because no legislation's getting done, so they're going to have time to do oversight and impeachments. That's what they're going to have time to do. It's going to be hauling a lot of people before Congress, and it's going to be impeaching Trump. I hope they impeach him every week. I hope they impeach him 50 times. Mm-hmm. I'm not even kidding. I hope they do.
What I'm hearing is that like if I donate right now, it's almost like paying money to get Trump impeached. Is that what you're telling me?
That's true. To get to 51. Yeah.
I might go donate again right now.
I wish we could just haul up anybody relevant in front of Congress to answer questions. Like, I want to see a real deposition of Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
But of any of the people in his immediate vicinity, I would just love to see it. But.
Yeah.
So what states do you guys think? Because, like, when we're canvassing, it's really, like, a 1% like, effect you can have. It's really, like, on the margins. And with – I'm expecting a blue wave as well. What would, like – with that 1% to 2%, where do you guys think, like, the most impact we can have would be in your opinion?
The places that the DCCC aren't targeting. So anything that's like a plus.
Wait, you're thinking
not
anything
Texas.
That's.
Are you muted? Yeah. We can't
you
hear
more
you.
To say, Z? I would, while she's figuring that out, I say not Texas, man. Like, we need help in Ohio, where like Sherrod Brown is running for try to get his old seat back from John Husted. I would say Alaska. I don't know what door knocking is like in Alaska, but Mary Petola could use some help. I mean, you know, these less sexy races that will actually determine who controls the Senate.
I want to do Alaska, but I got called a retard the other day for suggesting it.
Trump was just tripping out about it. I think we heard you, Z. Yeah.
You hear me? Okay, cool. Yeah, Alaska's a really good bet, actually. And also, Iowa 1, 2, and 3 are all really close races. Like, they're like plus 1 to plus 2 races, and usually the D-Trip doesn't do those races because they're very spread out races. Those ones are all good.
Okay. Yeah, Texas was on the list because we might have had, like, a special thing to do there. But really, I think the consensus right now is that for us, we're targeting Michigan, Georgia, Iowa, and Ohio. And I think Michigan, Georgia, and Ohio are the top three. I think Iowa's a little bit out right now.
How's the North Carolina race looking? Has anyone been following the North Carolina race with Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper's looking good.
Yeah. There's some congressionals in North Carolina that are looking good.
Yeah, we've got Blair, who was in North Carolina for the last for the 24 canvassing program, and I think the North Carolina Supreme Court seat was won by like less than 100 votes. So, like, you know, if we want to point to like actual impacts that DGG's already done, that's a big one. I know, like, in Nevada as well, Jackie Rosen and Susie Lee were both within like door knocking margins on that. So, like I said, it's 1-2%, but it really affects the local elections, and you know, that 1-2% that could get us over the edge for 51 senators. So donate. Thank you.
I wanted to ask Bryce, you said the after the first milestone was hit, the first canvassing event was locked in. Where is the first canvassing event?
We're still figuring that out. Basically, the things that we're going to use to target is based off of like how many organizations in the area are willing to work with us, how much money is being poured into the area. We don't want to go into places that a lot of money are being poured into. So like Michigan and Georgia, that's where they're kind of below Ohio on that. Also volunteers, just the amount of people that can travel. We had Alaska on our signup list, but Alaska is definitely a lot harder of a get. We probably have to pay for flights out there. But yeah, it's a variety of different things. Probably the biggest weighted ones are how many organizations are out there, if they're willing to give us money, and then how many volunteers basically can travel to those states.
That makes sense.
Guys, sorry, guys.
No, go ahead, Z.
I was just gonna say, if you guys need help in Alaska, we've got connections to the
Dem. Hell yeah, yeah.
Wait, your mic cut off again. You said we've got connections in, and then you're they stop working again. It's a good troll, though. Good troll.
Wouldn't be a Destiny stream without audio issues.
I think you guys are thinking about this is really important. I mean, the fact that you know people that donate can be assured that we're you know y'all are going to use the money effectively. That you're not just going to dump it into some flight of fancy.
Sure.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah, one of the things that really bugged us about the 24 program was when we spent $100,000 in New York. Sorry, I think you're echoing. Now
you're echoing.
Yeah, we spent $100,000 in New York for Jamal Bowman, who I think was like 17 points down at the time. So not a good race. I didn't go to that one. You can roast the rest of PV for that. But yeah, now that we have control.
Yeah, that was not. That was not Digital Ground Game, right?
Jamal Bowman's race.
That was not Digital Ground Game. That was Progressive Victory. But yes, they did canvass for Jamal Bowman's race.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it makes sense. Progressive Victory makes sense. Okay, I was gonna be like, yeah, that's exactly. Okay.
I interrupted you earlier, Stephen. Did you have something to say? Whenever I sort of cut you off.
Me? For what were we talking about? I was just curious how far away Alaska is. I'm not actually sure. I was really shocked when I went to Hawaii from California. I thought it was gonna be like an hour flight, like it was like Cuba and the Keys or whatever. I didn't realize it was like a fucking 5.5 hour flight to Hawaii from LA or whatever. How far? What is the flight from like Seattle to? Where is Alaska? What is it? Anchorage? What is it in Alaska? What do you fly to? Is that a real city?
Anchorage.
Oh my god!
They just gotta drop you off randomly.
Is that like a 2 hour flight or is that like a?
It's like a 3.5 hour.
Sounds like 3 hours or so. It's not bad.
Yeah. It's pretty far. I mean, you got to go over all of British Columbia. So
that'd be pretty crazy. Like one of my fans got eaten by like a polar bear or something while canvassing, though. That'd be a crazy story.
Well, I also want to get you ice fishing out there. You might get eaten by a polar bear.
Ice fishing?
Now that's a donation goal.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Absolutely not. Definitely
Destiny
not.
In the arena with a polar bear.
Yeah.
For the goal of the Democratic fund.
$1 million.
You want to get all the haters. Mobilize the haters.
What do you think for these upcoming midterms? I don't know like how strong the campaigning has been so far. Wait, I'm super echoing.
Sorry.
You're good.
Am I fucked again? Oh my god.
Do you think that Republicans are most of them? Do you think going to be messaging on like MAGA? Like, what do you even message on as a Republican right now? Like all the old MAGA points are kind of gone, right? It can't be like wars or affordability or like, I don't even like, what do you even talk about?
They just kind of do the Brendan Fraser meme where they look at you with tears in their eyes.
Please vote for us. We're not the Democrats.
People. You're in on the, you know, you're battling out with these MAGA-tards every day. What is like the narrative now? Because like many of these people are having trouble defending the war. They're having trouble defending the economy and the tariffs. Like, what are they? Is there any hope within their party? But we're moving this way, and that's what we're going to run.
They
on.
Don't
like,
debate. They haven't debated Trump for years. I mean, I don't know if you've been involved in these talks. You might know this, but like if you try to challenge any of these people on debates, I remember this was the case for Andrew Wilson. It was a case for Myron. It was a case for everybody that they tried to set me up with. with for James for Modern Day Debate and even for Pangburn, because Constantine wouldn't even really argue this either. Nobody will defend Trump anymore. All these motherfuckers were like, you gotta save civilization, fucking gotta vote for Trump, gotta. And now they're like, well, I don't want to really debate. I'm not debating Trump. I'm not here to defend Trump, you know? And it's like, really? Because all you guys were shamelessly plugging him for the election. So, yeah.
That's literally happening to me right now. I'm Modern Day reached out, and Andrew Wilson's like, do you want to debate, is Trump a fascist? I'm like, no, because you're just going to be pedantic about the definition. Why don't we defend Trump's record? And I have yet to hear back, so I'm assuming that's going to happen.
Apparently you angle that to IRI. Sorry, I misheard you. I didn't know you were asking.
No, you're good. But yeah, Guy, like the Trump TikTokers, like, you know, your average, you know, Trump, median Trump voter, what are they looking forward to? Do they have hope in their eyes?
Not really, but... You know, they're pointing to the same old men and women sports, and the Democrats are crazy. You know, their big gambit was fatter tax returns. They were convinced that the One Big Beautiful Bill's tax provisions would give people more money, and they would appreciate that all through the midterms. But unfortunately, we have the data. The average tax return's up about 11%. The average tax return's like $3,600, so it's about $350. Well, that's getting eaten up right now by gas and health insurance increases and groceries, so that's not going anywhere. So they're fucked. They're totally fucked.
What do we think about in some of these other areas where there's like tighter races? Like, I know Maine is a big one where I don't like Graham Planner, but he has a lot of Oppo research, and obviously I want him to win over Susan Collins. Where do we think that they're just going to like constantly pound that line, or?
Dude, we're in a brave new world right now. I have no idea what works and what, you know, hurts him anymore. I thought he was finished. Clearly I was wrong. So I have no idea what to think anymore about Graham Planner. He's got the fight agency people working with him. Are you guys familiar with that, with those people?
They're like,
no.
Yeah.
Like, who's the main guy? He's a young guy. He just started out. Yeah. Morris Katz. Weird because there are two people with the last name Katz in that organization of five people, but they are not related. Don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Rebecca Katz is one of them, and then Morris Katz is the other one. Morris Katz is the one that did the ads for Mamdani's campaign.
They're talented. They've worked with a lot of those kinds of like populist-y figures, and they are good at what they do. They win a lot of races.
Yeah, that's their
name. I'll also say, when I talk to Trump supporters now, they tell me it's coming. Just wait. You'll see. These special elections don't mean anything. The general electorate doesn't come out for special races. The polls show you guys still suck. And they think Trump's just going to pull out a miracle. I don't know. They really don't seem to understand how midterms work.
I mean, Trump has always had really dog shit performance for his midterms, right? His voters are very, like, sycophantically, cultishly obsessed with him. Like, he has a really hard time turning people out when he's on the ballot.
Yeah, it's like, even when he, you know, accuses us of voter fraud, it'll be like, all right, like, yeah, sure, you frauded the general, but then you didn't fraud all the down ballot races for some reason. But, like, yeah, it turns out that, like, MAGA doesn't really do down ballot races, period.
Well, because he's calling people rhinos, he's shitting on down ballot candidates nonstop. He doesn't support any of these guys, so it's tough for Republicans down ballot. Poor guys.
Do you think they just have to? Sorry, go ahead, Z.
I was going to say Graham Planner's raised twice the amount that Susan Collins has raised, which is actually crazy, considering that nothing. He started with no fundraising list. Likely, he's never run for any position before. That's pretty impressive.
I'm not convinced he's going to win that. I know the polls say otherwise, and he's more popular. But I mean, Janet Mills is a solid candidate. I see some shitting on her in the media, but this is somebody who's been governor, who's won statewide. It's an old state. The electorate there is old as shit, and she's old. So I think people are overlooking her a little bit.
What are the polls saying right now?
I think, isn't it like 20-point difference at this point? I thought it was pretty bad for Mills.
I don't like state polls. I never think much of state polls, though. That may be Cope, but I just think they're dog shit. They're like 400 people, and they're never accurate in any way.
I criticize polls all the time. I'm right there with you.
I mean, he's got Ryan on her, though, in some of these. 10 points, 11 points.
Yeah, I'm seeing 27.
Jesus.
Yeah,
I think
people are saying Mills is skipping events and everything now. Is that true?
I know she hasn't been holding as many events, but you know, I don't know what that actually means. I don't know if she's skipping them or if she just isn't scheduling as many.
I mean, she's also, like, old as shit, so maybe she's just, like, tired. But she just, like, don't want
to. Hold on, what does old as shit mean? We're in a new political world. Does that mean in her 60s or 80s?
She's got to be at older than 60. Much older than 60.
Well, because, like, 61, 62.
She's 78.
You're a whippersnapper. Yes, okay, 78, like, I would say that qualifies chicken. For old as shit. Okay, 78 is old as shit.
Yeah. She's not as old as Bernie. She didn't see the fall of the Reich, but she is now battling an SS tattoo.
Well, what are your opinions on this? Hutch wanted to debate me on this, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that.
The tattoo?
On the tattoo situation.
Oh, he's lying 100%. I sort of give him the benefit of the doubt about the story of how he got, you know, whatever. I can't prove or disprove it. You don't go 15 years having that on you without knowing what it is.
What is he saying? What was his excuse for it?
He got it while drunk in Croatia or something in the military on short leave.
When he was getting it.
I don't know if he knew what it was whenever. He says he didn't know what it was when he. I have no idea. I, you know.
But somebody would have pointed it out or something, right? That's just a long time to.
That's what I'm saying. That's the part that I think is a lie. The 15 years having it on your body. And you never.
And he's like
movie?
A history and war buff. Like,
yeah,
you
this
know
guy was
that.
In the army. What do you mean? Like, or the military, right? This guy. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of.
No, whatever. It strains plausibility. That's for sure. The 15 years. You know, even if I give him the pass on the story, I think he's lying about that.
But you know what, guys? As a Jew, I'm voting for the Nazi tattoo over Collins, and I think her concernometer should be very high right now.
Oh yeah, no, of course.
Whoever wins has my support. I just personally, I think Janet Mills is a better candidate.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying, I'm trying not to, not too much lib divide here, because no matter what happens, we got to beat the Republicans.
That's true.
For sure. I just think Collins is a tough out. Yeah.
That's true, right? Like, a lot of them quit, but the fight agency people stayed, which is interesting, because they're, like, super progressives, those guys.
Yeah, and they've got a good track record. I mean, I think leading up to 2028, looking at who they decide to back is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, they don't like loser fucking candidates that are like in the deep blue seats.
They made a bad bet with Fetterman, but you know, we'll overlook that.
Yeah, well, but Fetterman is surprised. I don't know. Fetterman was a great candidate at one point.
Yeah. What were you saying, IRA?
I was just curious if Z thought like the celebrity factor played any role in that organization staying involved, because you know, he's got a lot of attention on him and he's raising a lot of money, so why wouldn't you want to attach your train to that, you know, hook your train to that?
I mean, I don't know, like, if there's no way out of that lie, that's a pretty, because they're, I mean, what they do is comms, right? So like, I would get it more so if they were doing like field or something, but how do you recreate that narrative that's already out there? I don't know, you got to be good at your job.
Just well, ignore. I don't think anti-Semitism is detrimental to your campaign if you're further left, but I do think lying is, and I don't know how people are giving him a pass on that bullshit excuse that nobody ever brought it up to him. Hey, man, that looks like your tattoo, or he would notice that on your chest over the years, like, man, that looks like what I have on my chest.
I mean, I feel like people, if you don't...
Simpsons with Sideshow Bob, and it's like, does it not say Die Bart Die tattooed on your chest? He's like, no, that's German for D Bart D. Like...
I feel like as long as you just don't pay much attention, you just keep carrying on, eventually people will stop bringing it up. I think that's the strategy. For better or for worse, it's more or less, I think, where
posting
the media right out of the West. Yeah, basically, is going. It's how Farage survived so much stuff in the UK. It's how Trump has made it through so much stuff. All the ridiculous stuff of this administration, of all the cabinet-level people. Like, how do you... Like, imagine... Again, I hate to do this. Imagine if a Democrat... But, like, imagine a Bongino-type character, Kash Patel, screaming on podcasts, I got a guy in the fucking CIA who called me the Epstein files. They told me they've seen all the rape videos. And Christy Noem with the binders handing out to everybody. And then nothing. It evaporates in a year. But like, no, just don't pay attention to it. Whatever, keep moving through it. Who cares, right? It just seems crazy to me that there's no accountability, but it's because they just don't pay any attention to it, right? And like Trump was literally saying, like, oh, I don't care about any of the Epstein files, whatever. He just like moves on. It's like, okay, yeah.
I think if you start off your career not giving a fuck, then you can continue to do that. But if you like ever capitulate at any point,
yes.
It makes you look worse.
100%, yeah. That's why you got to keep posting through it, yeah.
True.
I think
Flatter's really... probably going to win that race. I think he's probably going to win the primary, and I think he's probably going to win the race. I think, I don't know, clearly they like him. And I think I have faith. I have faith in the blue wave this year.
Do you think Mills can hinge more of her campaign on like her standing up to Trump. I know that's kind of what Crockett did in Texas, like, but she made it like very, very like, I'm going after him. But like the fact that Mills defended like the trans like community just to his face, just like, I'll fucking see you in court, dude. Like good luck. Like, that really inspired me in a way. And, you know, if a 78-year-old can do that, I think more people need to be talking to him like that.
She deserves a massive amount of credit for that.
I think it's just that she's a tested product. You know, they know what they're getting with her. Where with you guys brought up Fetterman, like, I don't think people want another repeat of Fetterman, and Plattner seems risky. So I think a lot of people will just go with what they know, and she's solid and she delivered for them. And so that's why I think it has more to do with that than anything else.
So guys, we are 5K away from 100,000. Holy shit.
5K.
Do people
see, you're a bona fide political operative. I'm curious, like, what is like $100,000 look like? Or maybe this is a question for Steven or someone else, but like $100,000 is a lot of money. What kind of stuff is that a lot of money? Like, what does that look like for a political organization? I guess you're a bona fide political operative.
$100,000 is probably more than the candidate has raised her whole race that you guys are working for potentially. So it's a lot.
Texas 23. Yeah.
Yeah, in Texas 23, I mean, I don't even think she's raised $100,000 the whole race. So it's a huge amount. It's fucking awesome. You probably hit like, I mean, if you guys are just doing like a standard canvassing operation, you'd be able to hit like probably what, like 20,000 plus doors with that, right?
So our numbers are usually closer to a dollar per door. Like in the 24 campaign, I think the total canvassing cost was $360,000, and we got like 350,000 doors. Like, we're really efficient when it comes to that.
But Bryce, what if you take the pizzas you use and you slice them like the teachers slice them back in fourth grade,
where double
you
thin.
Like the little sliver? And so like,
we basically did that for the Vegas event. We ran the Vegas event for like less than $500, and it was Costco pizzas and then Dr. K, not even the good like 2 liters.
Dr. K, Mr. Pibb, let's go. We'll take all the off-brand stuff in the name of the Democrats.
On-brand soda is another donation goal.
As a quick thing, when it comes to raising money, it really depends on the level of the race too. Like, there are like certain towns or whatever, like where your city council races can be in like the thousands of dollars, or maybe $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever. Obviously, like DC is going to be a lot larger, or like New York City is going to be fucking huge. But for that, it's one number. State races can, I think I've seen as low as like $50,000 for like a whole state assembly race. And then that can go really high depending on the state. And then once you get into the congressional or governor things, I think you're in the millions of dollars that are raised usually for those races.
It's all depending on your win number. So like, if you have a low win number, the thing is, if you took $100,000 and you put that into one state, you could probably take over every city council seat in that whole state if it was small enough. So you could make a massive impact with that. But if you bring that into like a U.S. Senate race, I mean, it's going to, you know, it's a blip.
I'm actually curious, you guys probably know this better than I, but like, what is the strength of a dollar in like a TV ad versus a canvassing event, and how many votes you actually convert?
So like a TV ad. So if you put, you know, here's like the scam of like TV versus canvassing, right? Like, if you knock on somebody's door, most studies show that if they've never been talked to before and they don't know anything about this race, they're 7 times more likely to go out and vote because you knocked on their door. So you have a 70% conversion rate versus a TV ad where, I mean, unless you're doing CTV, like connected TV, there's no way for you to measure that. So a lot of consultants will try to say like, oh, well, why would you knock a door when you can just get like 100 eyes on the same ad, right? So you're talking to one person versus 100 people. But that's all bullshit, because it doesn't matter if those 100 people don't go to the fucking polls, right? Like, it only matters if they go to the polls. So what you want to look at instead is you want to look at the voter conversion rate. That's going to get you the best idea what you're actually spending on a race. So like, if you're a first time candidate, you've never run before, you're in like a mid-tier type of district, you should be spending anywhere between like $5 and $8 per vote. That's the standard. If you run like a shitty campaign, you're spending like usually between like $10 and $15 per vote. If you do a really good campaign, like I've seen people do it for like $1, that's pretty rare though.
Yeah, because like, when you're watching TV, everyone knows when the commercials come on, that's when you really lock in and pay attention to what's on the screen, right?
Well, the good thing is like on CTV is really cool because we can see like everything. It's kind of fucking creepy. Like, I know if I like look up your account, like there are certain systems now I can like take your email, look up your account. I can see everything that you're watching at the exact time that you're watching it. So if I want to target you as a voter, I can make sure I know that you're going to be watching Jeopardy at 7 p.m. I can make sure I'm targeting you at that time. And I can see like whether you've skipped through the ad or not. So the only way you can do it really without that is like ad block, right? But I can also see if you have ad block. So CTV is like super effective. It's way more effective than these, like, you know, free to air, you know, the old school broadcasts that they used to do where they just, you know, you give them $200,000 and you fucking just hope for the best.
Shotgun it out. Yeah.
If they even do that, that's part of the problem too, right? Because like a lot of consultants get away with just not putting out ads at all. And there's no way to track it properly. But with CTV now, you can track everything. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, you could see a lot on people. So if you think your shit is private, it's not. Like, we can see literally, like, unless you have ad blocker, we can see fucking everything that you're doing.
I just Google things I don't like just to throw them off, you know? Anytime you see a weird search, it's because I'm trying to break the big data algorithm.
True.
I mean, there's so many things now, too. I mean, even with, like, social media ads. Like, 15 years ago, like, social media ads were, it was pretty much the same as, like, broadcast TV. But now with social media, we can see everything. And so we can, like, really deeply target people that we want. Which means that you're going to spend less money per vote, right? It's like, if I know that I have to talk with you, it's going to cost me way less than if I'm just, like, talking to everybody in your zip code.
I don't know. Maybe we need a law against that. That sounds creepy.
I mean, listen, it's made our lives as Democrats so
I'm just kidding.
Had this for so long. Like, every time we come out with a new app, right? Like, for example, like, let's just say, like, GPS, like, canvassing softwares, right? Yeah. Republicans have had these for like 15 plus years and Democrats are just now doing it. So they're all like with all the CTV stuff, they've been doing this for years and we've only just caught on the last 2 years. And we do this with everything. It's like why we're so fucking terrible at flipping elections that we should win because consultants aren't, they're not like on the cutting edge of softwares and stuff like that.
Now, the Republicans were really ahead of Democrats for a while in terms of trying to take over state legislatures, right? With like Project Red Map and stuff like that to try and control redistricting. Are Democrats making any progress on pushing back on that sort of thing?
They're not. Like, that's the other thing, too, is like these large organizations, they have like full ballot chasing initiatives that we don't ever do that. Like, it was funny because yesterday, like, I live in a very red town, right, in Nevada. We're like outside of Vegas, like 45 minutes outside of Vegas. And we pretty much every seat in our town is red. I think we have one person that just flipped a seat. But everything else is red. And TPUSA has been handing out like those ballot chasing initiative papers. So they're already stocking up to get people out here to start ballot chasing way before we even have our primary. Wow. And Democrats. And the thing is, like, we're like decently flippable. I mean, we're probably like a plus. It depends on the seat, but like somewhere between like a plus six and probably a plus nine at the most. And like we have no ballot chasing initiatives out here at all. In fact, it's hard for us even to find Democrats that are willing to run against Republicans out here.
Speaking of numbers, plus 100,000 in the donations. Fucking
yep,
good job.
Correct. Everyone. I was just about to bring that up. We just eclipsed the 100,000 mark. So let's when go. Good job, guys.
Destiny have What's to up? Dye his hair blue.
At 100,000.
No way do we put that on there.
Moon's dyeing his hair blue at 100,000. So we got
You didn't know that?
I'm too old. I'm pretty sure if I dye my hair, it'll all fall out. I got to stay fresher than Hassan, at least on my facial hair. Jesus, okay? I can't let him pass me up there.
Let's go to Turkey. Get the hair plugs.
Yeah.
The bald. So really quick, we got to start transitioning to the next segment. So everybody do their sign-offs. I really appreciate y'all being here. I really appreciate for everybody for watching. If you haven't already, donate at the link down below or hit the QR code on the screen. Recurring donations also help us out a ton. But yeah, hand it off to you guys for sign-offs.
Let's start with Guy. Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Well, thank you guys for putting this together. I think it's great to give people something to get involved in. And look, to everybody out there, if you're not getting involved in this, just sign up for knocking doors in your neighborhood. Just do one shift. Don't think you have to dedicate every weekend. Just go do one shift. You're going to be around some excited people who are motivated. And hey, you might meet a hottie too. So you never know.
At one of these.
I think it's like the second time guys like, hey, you know where you can meet girls? Like political
We're
event.
Trying to appeal to young guys here, okay? What do young guys care about?
You go through shared adversity together. You know, that's a real test of the relationship.
And when you door knock, you do technically get a lot of girls' numbers. I'm just saying. I mean,
maybe knocking on their door. I don't know. Like, isn't your community like 90% dudes, 95% dudes?
Yeah. Also, I feel like generally people that answer doors are a little bit older, like 40s, 50s plus. So
I didn't say old they were. I just said they were girls. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to meet women at their door. Okay, that's weird. I'm talking about the other volunteers.
And it's fun to socialize in general, right? Already. It's good. It's always good to be in real life and to have like social experiences with people because these are exceedingly rare apparently now. So yeah.
Touching grass is always good. Yeah. There's never a bad time to touch grass, ever. Never, ever, ever. I'm going to go do it after I get off this panel. And speaking of that, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. You guys are doing such great work here. I'm so happy to be part of it. Steven, you know, thank you for lending your platform to this. Digital Ground Game, you guys are putting in the work. Thanks so much for having me on for the second time.
Yeah, thanks for joining.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, same message. And I'm always struggling, like, people in my community, me, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? This is material funneling, will and power. Same stuff with like Z and UFA. Like, here's what you do. You go out, you put your time, you put your money in, and you're going to see change. You're going to see change in November. You're going to see that you made a material difference. And like, if you've ever worked on a project and felt like, oh my God, like I see the fruits of my labor. This is how you do it in politics. Every time you get upset about what's happening, this is how you say, well, I can change this. One person can change this. So put your time if you can't put in money. Put money if you can't put in time. And just thank you guys for putting this together. I appreciate it. Go donate.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. And Z?
Z.
Yeah. I want to see you guys get to 250K today because I think that would be sick as hell. So do that. Love the GG community. You guys are like family to the NGG community. We even have names that are similar. So want to see you guys raise a bunch of money and anything we can do to support, please let us know.
Yeah, 100% in the same way.
Cool.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you guys for being here. We're going to move on to the next segment. And yeah.
Awesome. Good luck, guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.